I apologize for the delay.
Go ahead.
But we had some difficulties to work out, and those have been worked out, and we're going to start with possible reconsideration and work session on Senate Bill 3193. Senator Farioli.
Mr. Chairman, I have received personal assurances from members that I trust highly that there'll be no separate motions other than the pure reconsideration of this bill, and in reliance on those assurances, I'm going to move the vote whereby the committee pass Senate Bill 3193, or fail, excuse me, Senate Bill 3193 be reconsidered.
Senator Farioli has moved that the vote whereby the committee failed to pass Senate Bill 3193 be reconsidered. Any House Bill, House Bill 3193 be reconsidered. Any discussion? Any opposition? Hearing none, so ordered.
Mr. Chairman, I would move Senate Bill 3193 to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Senator Farioli has moved House Bill.
still
a House Bill. 3193 to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Any discussion? Any opposition? Hearing none, so ordered. Open up public carrier of that bill. Senator Farioli, carry that.
Kind of an auspicious ask for a simple bill.
We're going to open a public hearing on House Bill 2342. And we have Dr. Cutler?
Cutler.
Yes, sir.
Yes, Senator Starr, members of the committee, for the record, my name is Sandy Cutler. I'm the State Director of the Small Business Development Centers. I'm here to speak in behalf of House Bill 2342. I'll keep my remarks very brief. House Bill 2342 is basically a housekeeping bill that cleans up some language in the ORS statutes relative to small business development centers. There are 19 small business development centers located around the state. 16 of those are located at community colleges and 3 are at state universities. And House Bill 2342 just clears up some language that allows the Department of Economic Development to contract directly with the universities, which we've actually been doing for some time, and it makes it very clean and clear. So that's the main purpose. But while I'm here, I'd like to ask your indulgence if I could take just 2 or 3 minutes to speak on behalf of the budgets for the higher education and community college. Many people may not realize the fact that the 19 small business development centers that serve over 6,000 businesses a year throughout the state receive their funding from 3 sources. That would include the community college and higher education general fund budgets, the Small Business Administration, and also the Department of Economic Development through lottery funds. So I would just urge your support for the community college budget as crafted originally, as well as for higher education. I know that there was some movement, and one of the results of some of the cutbacks in higher education is that it's going to be very difficult for us to keep these small business development centers at Oregon Institute of Technology, Southern Oregon University, and Eastern Oregon. And we're really dependent upon the total budget, not just the Economic Development Department's funding. So I would ask your support for that. It's a great program. It serves lots of small businesses, and it's not just students. It's business owners that benefit.
Thank you. Questions of the witness?
Mr. Chair.
Senator Castillo.
I don't really have a question as much as just a comment that I've known Mr. Cutler for several years in his work with the center that's in the Eugene area at Lane Community College, and just know that it does do a tremendous amount of good, helpful work for small businesses and the development of small businesses in our part of the state, and have really seen what a difference that it's making. And so I hope I hope as we work our way through the budget process that you will continue to get adequate funding to keep you guys going, because you do a lot of really, really good work for us.
Senator Starr, Senator Castillo, thank you.
Thank you very much. Appreciate the testimony. Anyone else care to testify on the bill? Only had the one witness signed up. Not, so close the public hearing for the work session on House Bill 2342A.
Mr. Chair.
Senator Castillo.
I move that we adopt House Bill 2342A and send it to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Senator Castillo has moved we adopt House Bill 2342 and send it to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Any discussion? Any objection? Hearing none, so ordered.
Carrier?
Carrier.
I'll carry.
Senator Castillo will carry. We're going to open a work session on Senate Bill 782. Would you like Senator Gordley, this is your bill and you've brought us some amendments. Would you care to explain those to us, please?
Yes. Thank you very much, Mr. Chair and colleagues. First of all, Mr. Chair, I would note that I am withdrawing the Dash 4 amendments, the Dash 5 amendments, and the Dash 7. And I believe that there may be some Dash 8 amendments introduced, and I just want to say right up front that I will not be supporting the Dash 8. With regard to the Dash 9 amendments, which I believe you have in front of you, the first thing I want to do is thank David Mighton, Director of the Teacher Standards and Practices Commission, for his leadership, Mr. Chair, and assistance in crafting the amendments that you find before you. These amendments strip out the language that would have required demonstrated experience teaching reading, teaching math, strips out the language around accountability for student performance based on test scores. Those provisions are no longer in the language of the bill. The bill focuses solely on educators attaining multicultural competence and demonstrated successful teaching experience to qualify for a continued license. And with that explanation, Mr. Chair, I would move the Dash 9 amendments to Senate Bill 782.
Senator Gordley has moved the Dash 9 amendments to Senate Bill 782. Further discussion?
Mr. Chair.
Senator Castillo.
I had had the Dash 8 amendments drafted and also will make a motion to try to move those. I know that Senator Gordley prefers the Dash 9 amendments. I'm not quite sure procedurally how we do that when there's going to be two different. I guess we have to vote on them one at a time, obviously. But I just wanted to kind of explain what I'm trying to accomplish here. I very, very much support the main that what we're trying to accomplish in this bill and really want to be supportive of this piece of legislation and feel that it's incredibly important to our state. And I feel like we're not quite done. I feel that if we were to amend it with the Dash 8 amendments, that we really could arrive at a bill that everyone could embrace, everyone in the education community, and we could really get teachers involved in helping to accomplish what we're trying to accomplish and get buy-in from everybody. Without the Dash 8s, I know that we do not have the support of teachers, and in fact, they are very, very concerned about the bill without the Dash 8 amendments. And I'm concerned that in our process, in our hearing, we spent a lot of time hearing from various voices, and we had two public classroom teachers, I believe, that came and spoke to our committee And when they came before us, they were limited on what they could even say. They were told, you know, they came from Eugene, there were two teachers from Eugene. They were told only one of them could speak at first, and then I asked if they could both speak, and they were given a very limited amount of time. They had to rush through their testimony. There was no time to actually ask them questions about how this would actually impact what they do and what is already currently happening for them in their positions. And I'm very, very concerned that in this process, the very people that this is going to directly affect and who are going to be, you know, that we are trying to get to embrace this concept, and they already are embracing it through a number of things that are underway, are going to be forced to go down a procedure that they feel that they really don't need because of other programs that we have in place. And I'm just, I guess I very much want to be a supporter of this, and I very much admire all the work that Senator Gordley has done on this and her leadership on this issue. But I just can't, I just feel that it is incomplete until we get that part of it right. And I wish that we could continue to work on it rather than try to move it today.
Further discussion?
Mr. Chairman?
Mr. Chairman, it's not usual to ask another member of the panel a question, but Senator Castillo's commentary has intrigued me, and I'd like to ask if she would respond to a question.
Sure.
The folks that had come to testify were told had the topic and the content and the duration of their testimony limited by their employer. Is that what I understood?
No. We did it in the committee because it was very late in the day when they came up before us, and so they were just given a very limited amount of time.
Mr. Chairman, I had misunderstood. Often the hour is late and the witness list is lengthy, so I think we all understand the limitations of time. I thought I was hearing the good senator say that somebody had tried to abridge their ability to communicate with the committee. Thank you.
Any further discussion?
Mr. Chair?
Senator Gordon.
A brief comment. I respect so very much my colleague from Eugene, Senator Castillo, and the words that she has expressed. I do want to state, however, that in the testimony that we heard on Senate Bill 782, in the first hearing, we did hear testimony, as I recall, from at least two other teachers. One of those people with Joyce Harris, who is director of the Northwest Regional Educational Laboratory and its Equity Center, is a former teacher. And then there was also another teacher from the Salem area. Those are the two that I can recall. And there may have been...
I think the one teacher was in a private school. I thought her testimony referred to when she used to be in the public school, and she was teaching in a private school now, is what her experience was. I'm sorry, I stand corrected on the first person from Northwest Regional Laboratories. I didn't know that was somebody who was in the classroom and was teaching kids.
The director of the lab had experience, 20 years experience in the classroom. And
okay.
The other thing that I would just say again on the record is I can't say enough how much I appreciate the work from David Mighton, because this bill started out as a budget note to the Department of to the Teacher Standards and Practices Commission budget, and the co-chairs both rejected the budget note and said, please develop legislation, please develop a bill. If you do that, we will sign on and support it. And we did get the support from both Senator Hannon and Representative Westland. So I just want to also point out that it is our bill and not just my bill that is before us. The other thing that I want to say about Mr. Mighton is how much of his heart and commitment he has put into this work. Talking about someone who when we started this conversation, was very unsure about, you know, what is cultural competence? What is the definition? How do we get there? Who began to do some of his own research and stayed engaged, stayed involved, to the point that he came back to me, to us, last week with the amendments that were reflected in Dash 7, and with language that really strengthened the intent of the bill, and also a language that builds on our efforts from last session with Senate Bill 103 and the Multicultural Curriculum Bill. So, again, I just want to take note of that because I think Mr. Mighton has provided a quality of leadership that has helped us get to where we are with the bill today. And I just feel very strongly that if we don't do this now, it won't get done. Some of us have been advocating for this legislation and this kind of emphasis for a couple of decades. And I appreciate that there are a lot of new voices in the conversation that have joined the conversation over the last 2, 3, maybe 4 or 5 years, but we've waited too long to get to this point, and we need to be here for the children who are in our classrooms right now, needing and requiring educators who are culturally, multiculturally competent. With that said, Mr. Chair, again, I hope that we will move this legislation forward this afternoon. I appreciate that there is more to this process, including discussions and deliberations that can take place on the House side, and that additional work can happen with the bill there. But I hope that we will pass it in its form, in its Dash 9 form, this afternoon.
The motion before us is to move the Dash 9 amendments. If you approve the Dash 9 amendments, you vote yes. If you want the Dash 8 amendments, you will vote no.
Clerk will call the roll.
No.
Senator Ferriero.
Aye.
Senator Fisher.
Aye.
Senator Worthing.
Aye.
Senator Harkness.
Aye.
Senator Castillo.
No.
Chair Starr.
Aye. The Dash 9 amendments have been moved.
Mr. Chair.
Senator Bill.
Mr. Chair, I move Senate Bill 782 as amended to the floor with the due pass recommendation.
Senator Wardley has moved Senate Bill 782 as amended to the floor with the due pass recommendation. Any further discussion? Hearing none, clerk, call the roll.
No.
Aye.
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 No.
Aye. Having received the necessary majority, Senate Bill 782 is moved to the floor with the due pass recommendation. Session on Senator Gordley will carry.
Thank you.
Open the work session on Senate Bill 648. You have before you the Dash 2 amendments, and I'll ask Jan to help us through those amendments.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, you should have Dash 1 and Dash 2 amendments. The Dash 2s were ready just prior to our meeting today at 3, and they're based on Dash 1 amendments with a few changes. So I'll talk a little bit about what those do. The bill, as you might recall, the original bill set up quite an extensive plan to cope with autistic children here in Oregon. And it did a number of things, and I won't go over that because the Dash 1 amendment replaced the bill and narrow it down to just that of teacher certification. And so the Dash 1s, which are at the request of the original requester, 648, directs the State Board of Higher Education to establish a graduate-level program focused on autism spectrum disorder at one or more institutions of higher education. It specifies that in setting the curriculum, the board shall follow the accreditation requirements established by the Association for Behavior Analysis and certification requirements established by the Behavior Analyst Certification Board Incorporated. The program is designed to train individuals to supervise the design and implementation of intensive behavior intervention programs using applied behavior analysis. It specifies that a person may not supervise the design and implementation of intensive behavior intervention disorders unless the person has been certified by the Mental Health and Developmental Disability Services Division. Also, a person may not provide intensive behavior intervention based on principles of ABA unless the person has been certified by the Mental Health and Development Disability Services Division or is operating under the supervision of such a certified person. It directs the Mental Health and Developmental Disability Division by rule certification requirements for persons providing intensive behavior intervention using ABA and specifies that certain certification requirements be adopted no later than January 1, 2002, declares emergency and effective on passage. The Dash 2s changed the Dash 1s a little bit in that it generally more strongly references the course and certification requirements for Behavior Analyst Certification Board. And it takes out some language in the Dash 1 to talk about best practices identified by best practices recommended by the Autism Society of America. I believe that was because they felt that was too broad and they wanted to keep it narrow to the ABA. We do have somebody here from mental health to answer any questions that we might have about the effects it would have on them. And I think it was the chair's intent to perhaps move this to Ways and Means. We do not have a fiscal impact yet on these amendments.
But it still has considerable budgetary effect, and that would necessarily go to Ways and Means, so that would be my desire. But I would invite up Tina Kitchen, who has had a chance briefly to see these amendments and yet has some problems with those. So.
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, my name is Tina Kitchen. I am the medical director for the Office of Developmental Disability Services of the Mental Health and Developmental Disability Services Division. And truly, I have just briefly had a chance to look at the Dash 2 amendments, much less the Dash 1 amendments. And the concern that we have is that, the concern that I have, I haven't had a chance to talk to other people about this, but is that applied behavioral analysis can mean a lot of different things to a lot of different people. When you talk about applied behavioral analysis in the large spectrum, it can mean any time that someone has a behavior that you don't like, you don't appreciate, somebody tries to analyze why that behavior happened and changes. It has gotten used within this committee very specifically to mean an approach to a child with autism that tends to be a very intensive approach with one-on-one working with the child in a very structured setting for 40 hours a week very intensively. My concern with the amendments the way they are is that they reference applied behavioral analysis without really defining exactly which one are you talking about. At the same time, it requires that we adopt the standards from the societies and the Behavior Analyst Certification Board Incorporated and the Association for Behavior Analysts, which tend to focus more on that intensive type of one-on-one therapy. So I'm concerned with the way that these amendments are written, that if we were to write certification rules, which would be unique for us, we've never certified a professional before, but we would be trying to write rules aimed at a very narrow spot, but yet requiring that anybody who does applied behavioral analysis in the broader sense meet these certification needs.
Mr. Chair.
Sure. Yes, Barry Olding.
I just wondered, Mr. Chair, if there were any template models or analogies in any other states that we could look at where people are certified as the amendment indicates they would be.
Mr. Chairman, Senator Ferrioli, my understanding is that there are several states that have certification statutes and rules, but I am not aware of the language. And
so I guess, Mr. Chairman, it sounds as though there are models out there. If we needed to go into a certification program, that they'd be available. I'd like to know if there's any notion about how many states have certification programs like this.
Mr. Chairman, Senator Ferrioli, I would probably not be the best person to answer that.
I'm Marilyn Gantz from the Oregon Department of Education. Sure, sorry. I do have some information. I did a survey of the 50 states asking some questions about certification in a broader sense around autism spectrum disorder and their requirements, but also I asked the 50 states, does your state offer certification in applied behavior analysis? I did not ask if you then use that certification exclusively for students with applied behavior analysis. That's another question. We received responses from 32 states, so that's pretty good for short turnover time. Out of those 32 states that responded, 16% have a certification and requirement around autism spectrum disorder, not specifically using the certification of applied behavior analysis. Three states out of the 32 responded that they offer a certification in applied behavior analysis. Florida is one of those states. Pennsylvania is one of those states. But I don't have the linkage between none of them. Florida and Pennsylvania didn't respond to say that's exclusively what we require. So we would have to do more research in that regard.
But there's still, Mr. Chair, there seems to be a preponderance of the states that have some form of certification mechanism or requirement.
Only 16% require a specific certification with emphasis in autism spectrum disorder.
That's quite a few. Any other questions from the committee? My inclination is to move this bill to Ways and Means, where it has an uncertain future. But on the other hand, we do have some time. I found out last night, and I'm thinking that we should perhaps do a little more research before we try to move this bill. And so it'll be the chair's pleasure to hold this over to our May 3rd. Is that right? Is that the right date?
So.
May 3rd date. at which time we may or may not have additions or changes to the amendment.
Mr. Chairman, relative to the rescheduling of the action on the bill, I guess I'd like to know what we are currently doing, if anything, to make sure that qualified people are providing these services. So I guess I'd like a comparison between, you know, a large number of states that have some sort of certification and the 16% of the 33 that do, which have specific certifications, as opposed to what is it we do currently. And that at least will help me put the dash nine amendments or whatever dash we're on,
dash
twos, in perspective. And I think that would be helpful. So if I could ask for that to be brought forward to the committee at that time, with your permission.
Thank you. We will endeavor to do that. And again, I thank the committee for their time on this bill, and we will have it back on May 3rd. With that, I close the work session on Senate Bill 648 and open the work session on Senate Bill 100. And we've heard extensive debate on this issue, pro and con.
Mr. Chairman, before
the chair's desire to move the bill to Ways and Means.
Before in work session, Mr. Chairman, I move Senate Bill 100 to Ways and Means.
Senator Farioli has moved Senate Bill 100 to Ways and Means. Any
recommendation?
With
no recommendation.
With no recommendation. No further discussion. Is there any opposition? Hearing none, so ordered. We have surprised me and many present to be getting out of here before the witching hour. And thank you for your hard work. And we will adjourn the Senate Committee on Education. Thank you very much.